20th chapter, number 20. I will read 7 through 11. Will you mind it saying, Numbers, the Old Testament, way back there, Deuteronomy, Numbers, right there, put it together. You got it?
What chapter did you say?
20, chapter 20.
Amen.
Beginning at the 7th verse. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father, again, we ask, just take over. Use us, O God, to your glory. Lord, that these scriptures might come alive to us this morning, that it would touch us, O Father, in exactly where we need it. Take us, Lord, and use us. The story of Moses goes, of course, way back when he was leading his peoples out of bondage, and all the troubles that they had on the road as they was coming out of Egypt. It just seemed like it was one problem after another. It just seemed like that they couldn't move along smoothly. And at this particular time, they were in the desert out there, and they had no water. They had no drink, and they began to fuss among themselves and to complain, as we don't do that, don't we? When we don't have exactly what we would like to have to eat, or what we would like to have to drink, or if our shoes don't match, or if our socks are the wrong color, or they fit the wrong feet. You hear what I said? Socks that fit the wrong feet. That happens when you wear them about 7 days in a row and they take four. We complain about all kinds of things. We do, and they did. They was in a position there that they could see no hope ahead, and it was just devastating to them. And they were sure they were going to die because they didn't have any water. So as they were complaining, Moses called upon the Lord to answer his problem. And as the Lord spoke to Moses, he told him in no unspecific terms. He told him exactly what to do. Precisely what he must do. He said, You speak to the rock, and the rock will bring forth the water, that the people can drink, and their cattle and everything, they will be in abundance of water come out of the rock. All he had to do was just follow what God said. Well, he called the congregation together, just him and Aaron, just like they said, and he stood before them, and he called them. Ooh, what did he say to them then? He called them what? Rebels. Rebellious. For the first time now, he's talking like, you peoples are rebelling against God. And he said, What must I do? Yes, what
can I do? He said, am I to bring water out of this rock? And he took his rod and he turned around and he smote that rock twice. And the water came forth. Isn't that strange? That although being disobedient, not doing exactly what God said, yet the water came forth. Yeah, we got a little echo. Turn around a little bit there. Anyhow, he said, yes, Moses, it would seem to me, took a little bit of the on himself, maybe, when he smoked that rock. And he took a little bit of the credit for it.
Taking
a little bit of the credit for what God did. You see, God told him exactly what to do, but he did not do it. He did not speak to that rock and say, bring your water. If he had of, he would have been perfectly exactly what God would have him do. Well, he smote the rock, and the water came forth, and they did drink. Yes, God took care of his people, but he also took care of Moses. Yes. He sent to Moses that he had not done exactly what he wanted. And you know, as I read this story and look at that situation, how it was. Do you think really that God was too harsh on Moses? He said, because you have not done what I told you to do, you will not enter into the promised land. Wow. After all that Moses had done, he brought them all the way up there, went through all kinds of troubles, fought their battles, done all this and everything, but yet, just because he took the rock and bang, banged over the rock, this will be. But folks, the reason that Moses, his penalty was so great, was because Moses was great. He was in a position of leadership. He had the whole nation of Israel looking upon him as to what he would do. As he would follow God's word, or if he would go on his own and claim a little bit of the glory. Yes, he failed. And God said, for this, you will not enter into the promised land. Let me read you some other scripture. It comes from the book of Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter, beginning at the 48th through the 52nd verse. Now this is when they had come across all through that desert land and had come up to the crossing of the Jordan into the promised land. They were there. They were ready now to enter into the promised land. In Deuteronomy 32, verses 48, and the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount, whither thou goest up. And be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. Because you sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I give to the children of Israel. Wow. Yes, he told him as they was approaching the promised land that he would be allowed to look over into it and to see it, to view it, but not go in it. Wow. Such a penalty. Just for being just a little bitty bit disobedient to God's word. Just a little bit. Oh, well, I think of that. And I think of how that we, a lot of times when God will ask us to do something, he'll spell it out exactly what we should do. He'll tell us exactly what we should do and exactly how to go about it. And yet, we'll figure a better way. We'll figure, yes, I could do that, Lord, but it would be so much easier and simpler to do it this way. And we wind up usually doing it our way. And wonder why God didn't bless us for it. You know, back years and years ago, in some of the old time meetings, when I don't know whether the peoples were any different than we are or not, or whether they loved the Lord any more than we do, I don't know that. Or whether they just had more faith or what have you, but I have heard of some peoples that would do some miraculous things within a meeting house, like hugging a burnside stove, or walking the backs of the pew, or all they jumped in the altar, and I've seen that. But some of the things that they've done was just ridiculous. But yet, if God told them to jump, they better jump. If God told them whatever it was to do, they better do it. You know, too often, God will tell us to do something simple in a church service, like maybe right here this morning, and he'll tell us something simple to do, and we'll say, well, that's stupid, you know, that's simple. But sometimes it takes the simplest little movement out of a person to break loose a whole congregation and praising the Lord and shouting can start. And we'll sit on it. We won't do it. We were singing one night. I probably told you this story before, but I'll tell it to you again. We were singing one night at church someplace. I'm down in Doddridge or way down in the country someplace out there. Just a small church. And I'm telling you, we sang our hearts out. We couldn't have harmonized any better, made it any louder, or anything, but it bounced off of those walls dead. I mean, you couldn't get people sitting around like it. I'm so happy. Couldn't get to first base. And all of a sudden, behind us, across the platform where it was, a mouse went across the floor like that. And one old boy sitting on the front row, he got up and took a songbook and he wailed it at that mouse. Just like that, the meeting broke right open. There was praising, there was shouting, there was people at the altar, there was, because one little old mouse went across the stage, but one man was obedient. So many times we have seen little things that didn't mount a whole lot, but it took that to set the spark to build the fire in the church. You know, we need that. We need fire in the church. We do. Moses, being disobedient, was disallowed to enter into the promised land. As he went up on that mountain, he didn't come back. Nobody knows where Moses was buried. They never found his grave because God hid it. That's another story. Moses was denied the promised land. And it seemed like that penalty was so great. But you know, folks, I wonder sometimes, when we are disobedient to God, when we are doing our way and not His way, I wonder just how many blessings that we have lost. Now, did Moses lose everything? Who knows? You see, that's like a little bit about us Baptists. We believe that once you're saved, that you're secure. Eternal security. Well, Moses was denied the promised land. That was a reward. That was the rewards of him being obedient to God. Sometimes we lose rewards strictly by being disobedient to what God would have us. Did Moses lose his salvation? Let me read this to you. Well, I think I read it to you already this morning, didn't I? Matthew 17, 1 through 3. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them up unto the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as snow. That's Jesus. He was transfigured. He was in the Spirit. And behold, there appeared unto them, there he is, Moses and Elias, talking with him. So you see, he was carried over into eternity. He may have lost. He may have lost a little bit of his rewards here upon this earth, but he gained eternity. Just like you and I. Every day we live, we're building eternity. We're building rewards. God will reward us, each and every one of us, for the deeds we do in the flesh. Do you believe that? He will reward us. Greater is our reward for the harder we labor. If you sit on a pew and take your seat and say, well, I attended service and refused to honor God, you refused to be obedient when He speaks to you and says, do or do not, or this or that or the other thing, and we refuse to move, we lose reward. When we get over on the other side, might be like the story of the man that went over on the other side and made it into heaven. And when the rewards were started to pass out, he seen his good friend from down the street come up through the middle of the drive in a big Cadillac. I mean, he had a beauty. It was one of them real fancy jobs, you know. He said, boy, he said, this is his reward. Because he had been obedient to what God said. He turned around and looked, and here come another one. Neighbor from down the other way. Man, he had the fanciest, nicest vehicles that you could ever think of. He was just riding in style, you know, right up on top, you know. He was really obedient. He turned around and looked. He started laughing. And St. Peter said, well, what are you laughing about? He said, you just seen the preacher go by on a skateboard. Yes, rewards, you can expect them for the work that we do here upon this earth. Moses made it. He made it into the promised land, the land of eternity. He probably lost maybe a little bit of the glory of going over and crossing the river and going into the promised land. He probably missed some rewards here upon this earth. But he gained that great reward with Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you begin to imagine being able to stand beside Jesus Christ and Him looking on you and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or will they say, remember back when you was in the East Clarksburg Baptist Church and I asked you to do something? And you said, I don't think I can do that. I'd rather do this. I'll do it my way. And in doing so, we lost our reward, but we also, he might look upon us and say, there was somebody depending upon you, and you let me down. Yes. How many people, when Moses struck that rock, looked upon him knowing that he did not do what God had asked him to do? How many people do you think? You never know. The most simplest thing that God would ask you to do may be the very most important thing you ever done in your life. Yes, you think about that. Yes, it doesn't have to be great. God doesn't want any great, big, great works out of any of us, and I know that. Just the simple little things of everyday life is all he asks us, just to be obedient, just to answer, just to do exactly as he says, and not as we think. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We praise you, God, for just leading us and guiding us and showing us the way. And Lord, as you continually show us, O God, the little things of life that mean so much, we pray, God, that we have not been an obstacle to anybody, but Lord, that we have been in some small way a helpful to someone, that they might see Jesus. And Lord, we pray that as we mingle through our communities, as we meet peoples, as we talk, that they can see, Lord, that we have something, O Father, that the world does not have. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us, guide us, lead us, show us the way in everything that we say or do. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask these things. Amen.